This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner. And my friends, today you and I are going to return to the subject, what Jesus said about being judgmental. You do not want to fall into the category of being a judgmental person. And Jesus had a lot to say about judgmental people. But this is a five-part series, comes in all kinds of formats with a wonderful study guide that has everything in the series in the study guide, so you can read the material while you are seeing or hearing the whole series. I really want you to get this material down deep inside you. And I want to mention to you Denise's book called Unstoppable. If you feel you've been judged by others and their opinions have stopped you from making progress, you need to read Denise's book called Unstoppable. It will set you free and will enable you to push through all those negative opinions and keep going forward. But you can find out about these resources by going online to our website, or you can give us a call. And hey, friend, if you've got a need going on in your life and you just wish, oh, I don't know how to pray about this, I wish I had somebody to pray with me, call the number on the screen. That's the number for you to call, because we're here for you and we are waiting to pray for you right now. If you would prefer to send an email, send an email. Whether you send an email or whether you call, when we hear from you, we're going to pray. And Jesus is really going to do what needs to be done in your life. I believe it. Say amen. So call that number or send us an email. But I want you to reach for your Bible. And today we're going to be going to a lot of scriptures. And I also want you to reach for a piece of paper and something to write with. And today we're going to see what the word raka means in regard to being judgmental. That is a word which Jesus used. And when people read it, they think, what in the world does the word raka mean? Well, today we're going to find out. It's going to be very enlightening. But every day this week, I want to give to you what is the difference between judging and being judgmental. Now, if you say, Brother Rick, you've already told us this in the two previous episodes, well, I'm wanting to make sure you really get it. And I'm going to give it again in the next two episodes, because I believe it is that important. So what is the difference between judging and being judgmental? What does it mean to judge? The word judge pictures discernment, perception, or evaluation. And by the way, it's required for every part of life. But let's continue. It involves forming a decision or opinion about something or someone, particularly after careful consideration. So this is not rushing into a judgment. This is really giving your evaluation or your perception of a matter after considerable evaluation and really pondering the subject. Judgment is an essential skill for decision-making, navigating complex situations, making informed choices, and gaining insight into oneself and the world at large. Maintaining a healthy and balanced sense of judgment is crucial for personal development, achieving success, avoiding danger, and fostering meaningful relationships. Without such judgment, life would be fraught with tragic events, but healthy judgment is vital for a balanced, fulfilling, and secure life. And I've given you many examples of where we are required to judge in life. There is nothing wrong with judging. Judging is a component of life that is required if you're going to have a good life. But being judgmental is a completely different issue. So what does it mean to be judgmental? Here it is. Being judgmental involves viewing others in a negative light, often using derogatory language to describe them, and quickly forming opinions based on superficial observations or limited evidence. A judgmental individual tends to develop opinions about many people, usually harsh and critical, and is often based on exteriors or insufficient knowledge of the other person. This attitude usually stems from the belief that one's own opinion and values are right, while others are deemed to be bad or wrong, and it leads to a sense of superiority over others. But individuals with a good sense of judgment are typically not regarded as being judgmental. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, which really is the foundation for this series, a verse which many people misconstrue. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged." Jesus is not saying that it is wrong to judge. Judge is a component that is required for every feature of life. You have to judge everything. You have to judge how much you eat. You have to judge whether or not a person is good for you. It doesn't mean you're being judgmental of them. You're determining whether they're good for you. Sometimes you got to judge whether or not your kids are telling you the truth or whether your kids are lying to you. Judgment is just a feature of life that is required. But in this verse, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being judgmental of others, just locking them into a category, saying that's who they are, that's who they'll always be, giving them no mercy, no belief that they could ever change. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't deal with you like that? He always gives you mercy and believes the best about you, but a judgmental person doesn't believe the best. And here Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And the word "that" in Greek is really important because it is the word henna. It means "in order that," and it shows that being judgmental sets a process of a judgmental harvest in place. In other words, if you're going to be judgmental of others, you need to know it's going to come back to you. And Jesus here says, if you do not want to experience the brunt of judgmental attitudes, then judge not, in order that the process will not come back to you, that you be not judged. And the word "judge" is importantly the Greek word krino, which depicts a self-righteous condemnation. This is not discernment. This is not correct judging. But this is somebody who takes upon themselves the role of judge and jury. They're just being judgmental. And Jesus just tells us this is the law of sowing and reaping. If you're going to be judgmental of others, you're going to set into process a harvest of a judgmental attitude coming from somebody or multiple people coming back at you. And that's why he continues to say in Matthew 7, verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." And in Greek, the word "for" is the little word "gar." It means "for it is just a fact." And here Jesus uses this little word "gar" to dramatize the point. "For it is just a fact. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." And when Jesus says "with what," it literally means in exactly the same amount, you are judgmental. And here the word "judgmental," the word "judge," is not the word "krino," it's the word "krima." And the word "krima" is a little bit different. It describes a condemnation, a damning sentence, a denunciation, a judgment, a sentence, or a verdict. This is a person that just has a damning condemnation of you. They've categorized you. They've issued their own sentence, their own verdict about you. And Jesus says, "For with what verdicts you issue about others, you in the same way are going to be judged." And the Greek literally means you will be brought into the same condemnation and judgment of others. So if you do not want to experience the brunt of a judgmental attitude, then don't be in the business of being judgmental of others. That doesn't mean you can't judge whether they're good for you or bad for you, or whether they're lying to you, or whether they've been deceptive. All of those judgments are required. But don't just wrap them up and say they can never change and put them into your judgmental prison. Do not do that. That's what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says again in verse 2, "For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Wow. "With what" in Greek means in the very same amount. And he says that what measure you meet. Now pay attention, because this word "meet" means to distribute, to dish out, to dole out, to measure or to meet, or whatever you dish out to others, it shall be measured to you again. And guess what? The Greek literally says, what you dish out to others, what you dole out to others, is precisely what's going to be dished out to you or doled back to you. So before you get into the judgmental business, you need to ask, wait a minute. If the law of sowing and reaping kicks into action, I'm going to be the recipient of this same attitude from someone else or a group of other people. Do I really want this? You need to put on the brakes and really think about it before you fall into a judgmental attitude. And then in Matthew 7, verse 3, Jesus continues to say, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? And it's interesting that the word why is the little tiny Greek word T. It describes the most minute, minuscule detail, and it pictures a person that is really fixated on something minor in somebody else's life that they don't like, but it has just become a major mountain to them. And they're fixated on this little tiny flaw in someone else's life. And Jesus says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? The word beholdest is a form of the Greek word blepo. It means, why are you aware? Why are you looking at? Why are you so observant of the mote that is in thy brother's eye? And in Greek, the words the mote are really important. It is the word to, which is a definite article, and it is the word karphos. And the word karphos describes a tiny little particle, a speck, or a splinter. And this phrase was used by Jews commonly to denote small infirmities or faults in a person's life as compared to huge and serious faults. And thus, Jesus here is really describing a person who's nitpicking about somebody else's tiny, tiny flaws. And notice this person is concerned about the mote that is in your brother's eye. Well, the eye is the word ophthalmos. It's where you get the term ophthalmology. That's the science of healing the eyes, or the medical science of the eyes. But what do? The eyes have vision. It gives you the ability to see. So what you really have here is the picture of somebody who says, you know what, you've got a very serious flaw in your life. When in reality, the Greek word T is just a tiny little thing. It's minute. It's minuscule. It's a speck, it's a particle, it's just a little splinter, but you're obsessing over it, and you're saying to that person, you know what, you can't see it because it's in your eye. You do not have the ability to see how flawed you are. And then Jesus adds in verse 3, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye. And the word beam, the Greek word dokos, describes a beam, a board or a log, particularly is a large piece of squared timber that was usually used in the roofs of homes. And if you didn't build it and conceal it correctly, it could block your view. And now Jesus says, you're complaining about your friend having a very little speck in their eye and they're not able to see it, when in fact you've got a huge beam in your own eye blocking your own vision about you and your own issues. That's really what Jesus is saying here. And then he adds in verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. And when Jesus says, or how wilt thou say in Greek is really a form of a word which describes a flowing spring. And here it describes a person that is running at the mouth. They're just running at the mouth. In other words, they're going on and on and on and on about the tiny little speck in somebody else's eye. And Jesus says, this person is saying, you know what, you can't see your issue, so let me help you. Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye. And Jesus says, all the while, behold, you got a beam in your own eye. The word behold, a form of the Greek word idu, which carries the idea of amazement, bewilderment, or shock. It could even be translated as the word wow. Jesus says, wow, you're not even aware of the fact that you've got a beam so big in your own eye that you can't see your own issues. How are you going to help somebody else when you've got bigger issues going on in your life than you're concerned about in somebody else's life? And in verse 5, Jesus says, you hypocrite, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, And then he continues to say, and then. And the word then in Greek is the word tote. Then finally, at that time, thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. My friends, when you're tempted to be very fixated on issues in somebody else's life, maybe you need to run and look in the mirror and see what issues you've got going on in your own eye, in your own life, that you can't even see. But then we come to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, where Jesus says, you've heard that it's said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. This word kill is a form of the Greek word phaneo. It means to kill or to slaughter. It pictures murder, and it refers to the breaking of the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments, which is thou shalt not kill. And here Jesus says, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shalt kill shall be in danger of judgment. The word danger means will be legally liable of judgment. And the word judgment here is the word crisis, which means if you murder someone, you're legally liable to be dragged before the court of public opinion, and it's going to be a big, serious crisis in your life. But then Jesus adds in verse 2, but I say unto you, the word but is the Greek word day, which means however. Now Jesus uses it to dramatize the point, however I say unto you. And in Greek it says ego lego. The word ego means I. Jesus is drawing attention to himself. The word lego means I say. When you use these two words together, it means Jesus as a phrase was saying, now hear me. It is me speaking to you. And Jesus is lifting his voice to really dramatize what he is about to say, continuing in verse 22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. The word whoever is the Greek word pos. It is all-inclusive. It leaves no one out, which means what Jesus is saying in this verse applies to all of us. The word angry is a form of the Greek word ergizo, and the tense is literally whosoever is being angry with his brother. It pictures anger, exasperation, or rage. This word ergizo here, translated anger, really describes one that is bent out of shape, twisted, and just wrathful. This person is in danger, legally liable of the judgment. And the word judgment, again, is the Greek word crisis, which means if you allow your rage to get the best of you, you're going to end up spoiling your own reputation, and you're going to be judged by the court of public opinion. But then Jesus adds in verse 22, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. Okay, what in the world does this word Rakah mean? Well, here it is. It is a word expressive of great contempt and injurious language. Essentially, it means to call someone brainless, empty-headed, good for nothing, stupid, with no sense, or worthless. It is abusive speech of any kind, and Jesus uses this word rakah to illustrate the gravity of abusive speech and to elevate the sixth commandment from external action to internal action, which means you may not physically murder someone, but internally with your words, you have abusively, verbally slew them. And Jesus says it is the equivalent of breaking the sixth commandment, and it's also going to get you into trouble. Wow, this is just amazing. And Jesus says, whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. The word danger, again, means to be legally liable. The word council is really the word for the Sanhedrin, which was a group of religious leaders in Israel, approximately 71 of them. And if you got dragged in front of them, you were really in trouble. But Jesus here is teaching us that what you dole out to others is going to be dished back to you. And if you use really bad language judgmentally to categorize a person or a whole group of people, my friends, you're about to reap the same thing in your own life. Now, I'm thinking of Christians, some of them my own friends, who use really derogatory language to describe people of another political persuasion. You know, you can disagree with other people without being abusive with your speech. We are never called as Christians to call other people with horrible names. What is the benefit of that? Jesus didn't do that. And if Jesus didn't do it, we shouldn't do it. That's the equivalent of using the word recall, calling somebody an idiot, saying, no, they're just a bunch of morons. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. And in fact, Jesus goes on to say, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. The word fool, the Greek word moros, means to call somebody a blockhead, a dumbwit, a fool, an idiot, or a moron. My friends, we're called to live above that. You can disagree with somebody else very civilly and very kindly, very politely, but we're never called to be in the business of using derogatory language to describe other people. And when we do that, it shows we've moved into a judgmental attitude. Now, we just touched this word, rakah. But when we come back in the next program, we're going to go a little deeper about this. It's going to be important, so please don't miss the next episode. But I'll be back in just a moment, and I want to pray for you.
When you carry a judgmental attitude, it locks the people you are judging into a certain category in your mind, and this can make it difficult for you to let them change. However, a certain level of healthy judgment is also vital for a balanced, fulfilling, and secure life. In Rick Renner's series, What Jesus Said About Being Judgmental, you will discover the difference between the two and learn. You don't have to live bound by judgment. You will always get back what you give out. You can let go of condemnation and live in compassion and freedom and more. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this series will set you free from the prison of judgment that you might be trapping yourself or others in. In addition to this teaching series, we are offering you the book Unstoppable by Denise Renner. Many times, people are stopped by their own feelings or the judgmental attitudes others have toward them. But God's will is for you to be unstoppable. This encouraging book can be yours for just $20. Don't miss this special offer. The series What Jesus Said About Being Judgmental and the book Unstoppable. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code to order. Call or go online today.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I'm standing inside the partner care department of our ministry, and this is where the action takes place. Thousands of phone calls every day and every month come into this place from people reaching out to us, and this is my precious mother who is in heaven, and she established this part of the ministry. But these are the principles we are dedicated to feed the entire flock God has brought to this ministry, to strengthen those who are diseased in any area of their lives, to bring healing to those in need of any type of healing, to bind up those who are broken in any area of their lives, to bring back those that have been driven away, to reach the lost, and to take the gospel and the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth, to shepherd the flock that God has caused to hear the voice of this ministry, and to help them grow in their relationship with Christ and become powerful Bible-based believers equipped for these last days, and to thank and minister to partners whose sacrificial gifts have enabled this ministry to fulfill its call around the world. And we are very committed to these principles. And if you're a partner, you know we're very serious about that. But hey, right now we're trying to pay off this facility. So would you please become a part of the ministry expansion giving team so we can pay off this facility and then keep taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And my friends, together we can do this. And I want to say thank you so much. Well, today we have covered a lot of material about what Jesus said about being judgmental. Don't be judgmental. That doesn't mean you can't judge. You have to judge all kinds of things in life. But judging and being judgmental are two different things. And that's why this series, What Jesus Said About Being Judgmental, is so very important for us to hear, to study, and to understand. And by the way, this five-part series comes with a great study guide. And my wife's book called Unstoppable, would be good for anyone who has dealt with others who've really had a judgmental attitude of them. Maybe you feel like you've been stopped because of the opinions of others. Other people have categorized you, and as a result, you've just become stuck in life. Well, you need to become unstoppable, and that's what Denise's book is about. It is just so wonderful, and I want you to have it. But you can find out about these resources by going online or by giving us a call. And please remember, we want to pray for you. And if you feel that you're suffering the brunt of somebody else's judgmental attitude, we want to pray for you to get set free. And if you've been judgmental of someone else, we want you to be forgiven of that and for you to walk free of being judgmental of others. It will set you free. You'll set them free from your prison and you'll walk out of your own prison. And we would love to pray with you. So call us or send us an email. But Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this very important teaching that we understand what Jesus said about being judgmental. Help us, Lord, not to fall into that category and being guilty of being judgmental of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll see you in the next episode. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there really is power. Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and Denise and I are coming to the United States for a brief trip, and we want to invite you to come to some of our meetings. On Sunday, April the 19th, we'll be ministering at Vertical Church in West Haven, Connecticut, with Pastors Ken and Kathy Vance. Then on Wednesday through Sunday, April the 22nd to 26th, I'll be speaking at Perry Stone's wonderful 2026 Prophetic Summit in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, I'll be speaking at Resurrection Life in Granville, Michigan with Pastors Dwayne and Jeannie Vanderklok. Friend, if you can come to any of these meetings, Denise and I would just be so thrilled to see you. But please go online or give us a call to make sure none of the dates or times have changed.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries.